You're now listening to the Engage the Rockies podcast, your go-to podcast for local and state issues concerning Colorado.
Hello, Colorado. This is the Engage the Rockies podcast. I am your host, Jarvis Caldwell, Executive Director of Engage the Rockies. Today, we are talking property taxes again. If you may have seen April 23rd, Colorado Politics, reported by Marianne Goodland, there is a new property tax bill on the horizon in the legislature. And yes, there is about a week and a half left in the legislature, and this bill still hasn't been introduced yet. So leave it to the legislature to leave the best for last, I guess you could say. So we wanted to bring on a guest who can talk about this and who works in this arena. And so there's no better guest that we could bring on than Miss Christy Burton Brown. Christy is the Executive Vice President of Advance Colorado. Advance Colorado Institute is a think tank that advances principles and ideas that a majority of Coloradans care about. It focuses on policies that provide more opportunity for more Coloradans. They promote limited government, free enterprise, low taxes, public safety, and the Colorado values that have made our state a great place to live. Christy, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. So let's start big picture from the top here. You know, I'm sure Coloradans are probably like, oh my God, we're talking about property taxes again. I feel like we've been talking about this forever. So if you can kind of just give us a little bit of background, like what got us into this mess? Why are we continually dealing with this property tax issue in Colorado?
For sure. And you're absolutely right. It's top of mind for a lot of people because they've seen their property tax bills. They know how high the spike was, but they also have little idea in some cases why this spike has happened and why the government's doing absolutely nothing to fix it. And so it actually started with the Gallagher repeal. It's a constitutional amendment in Colorado that dealt with caps on property taxes. It got repealed by voters, actually. I don't think the campaign actually provided voters with the amount of information they needed to really know what they were voting on, that this would be the effect later on. But also, when the campaign was run, there was the promise that we're going to repeal Gallagher now and fix it later. I would suggest that if you're ever repealing a law and the fix isn't in the repeal, probably shouldn't vote for it, because this is exactly what happens. And so now there have been at least three legislative sessions between that repeal and now, and the legislature has continually failed to fix the property tax crisis. And this is why Coloradans saw an average of 40% increase in property taxes this year, that they're paying out this year. It is because Gallagher got repealed and the legislature has failed to fix it in multiple sessions.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people about Gallagher in 2020, and what I got a lot is what we see a lot on ballot initiatives, even Proposition HH, which we can talk about in a minute, which is, you know, the language is always confusing. You're not really sure what you're reading. You're like, I think this may be a good idea, but you're not entirely sure. And definitely, I think the way it was presented maybe is the reason that, you know, voters went with the repeal of it, not realizing that, hey, if the legislature does not address this, then we're going to have some serious issues on hand, which, you know, you would think within 3 years, plenty of time to fix this problem.
Yeah, sure should be.
But obviously, right?
Well, because it's no surprise. I think that's the problem, is we elect people to go to the Capitol to fix obvious problems in the state that have to be fixed through law. Like, that's your job when you're up there at the Capitol. Right. And certainly there have been a number of people in the minority party, the Republicans, who have sponsored bills that would fix this. I do think you should give credit where credit is due. But majority of the legislature has not been willing to pass it. And so it's pushed back off on voters again, potentially with more ballot issues this year, to see, can we finally fix this crisis?
Right. Exactly. Okay. So this new bill that I mentioned that Colorado Politics reported on, it is sponsored by Senator Chris Hansen, who is a Democrat senator from Denver. So because we haven't actually seen the bill yet, the bill hasn't been introduced. So it hasn't had a first reading where we can actually go online and look it up as of right now, unless it was introduced before you and I started filming this. And we're on Friday, April 26th. I'm not aware of it being introduced yet.
I don't think so.
Okay, I don't think so either. And so what I'm hearing is, and what I'm reading from Colorado Politics, is that there's a claim that, you know, this is different than Proposition HH because this bill was created by the Property Tax Commission, which was created by the special session after Prop HH failed, which for those listening, if you don't recall, Prop HH was put on the ballot because it was passed through the legislature as a bill with like 4 days left in session, something like that. So it was rushed through at the end. And now here we are again, going through the same process. So what do we know so far about this bill? Maybe that we don't see in the Colorado Politics article, or maybe that we do. You could just explain it a little better.
For sure. Yeah. And there've been some good articles out on it, I think. I have been able to see a draft of it. It's 83 pages, an 83-page bill, which we all know when you see something that's 83 pages long, there's a lot that's hidden in it that voters should know about. And also to push an 83-page bill through the legislature in the final 2 weeks of session, does that really give legislators the ability to carefully analyze what's in it and make sure it can solve the problem? I don't think it does. And so I think by running an 83-page bill, Senator Hansen is definitely doing a disservice to his colleagues in the legislature and chiefly to people all throughout Colorado who really do have a property tax crisis. I know that the group I work for, Advance Colorado, we're running property tax measures. We can solve the crisis in a page and a half or 2 pages. So I know it's possible to actually create a solution that works for people in a page and a half or 2 pages. You don't need 83 pages to do it. But since he does take 83 pages, there's a couple, I think, important things to point out. For one thing, a lot of people were surprised at the commercial property tax cut that does exist in this bill. Well, and it's a cap. He's changing the cap all the way down to 25.5%. But it would take 8 years to do that. That cap wouldn't take place until the eighth year. 2032 is the year that would actually happen. He starts in 2026, gradually ratcheting down about 0.5% a year until you finally get there. What's interesting about that is because this is statutory and it's a ratchet down, the legislature could step in any of those years between now and 2032 and say, oh, no, we can't take this anymore. Now people aren't really thinking about the crisis. We're going to go ahead and cap it out now and stop the eventual cap that's being promised down to 25.5% of commercial. So I think that's interesting. It's super long period of time. The legislature could jump in and change it at any point. So that's, I think, different than what's being promised. When you look at the residential side, I was talking to a local elected official who deals a lot with property taxes. And they were telling me one of the most concerning parts of this bill is that it actually hurts poor people the most. Right now, during the last special session, there was a $55,000 exemption passed on houses. So before they calculate your property tax, they take $55,000 off the value. Well, that exemption actually helps a lot of people, for example, who live in mobile homes. And in some cases, they don't even have to pay property taxes at all because of that exemption. So it does help them out. Well, what this bill actually does is it changes the exemption where you can get a max of $75,000 for the exemption, but the alternative is 10% of your property's value up to $75,000, and it has to be the lesser of the two. So when you see someone with a mobile home that maybe costs $28,000, they're not getting a full exemption like they currently would get in the property tax system. Instead, they're only getting a $2,800 exemption. So it's very interesting, especially because Senator Hansen tries to present what he does as a benefit to low-income families, and he's actually targeting them and hurting them in this bill. And I'll stop now because those are only two of the damaging provisions you see. But when you have 83 pages, that's what you get hidden inside it.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. So you go with the lower, and you said 10%. So obviously in the scenario that you're talking about, if the property, if it was a trailer, a mobile home, and it was 28,000, you're not getting that full 55,000 or 75,000, whatever it's going to be. You're only getting that 10% because it's lower. That's very interesting. And, you know, you brought up a really good point about this. When you're talking about the cap for the commercial property taxes is, this is something that we deal with all the time. So whenever the legislature, especially in Colorado, you know, they plan something out, they're not very good at planning out very far ahead. No. So they say, yeah, you know, this is going to be over the next 10 years. And it's like, okay, well, when I think there's over 700, I think the last number I saw was 749 bills or something this session, which is like way above normal, which is in the 600s, which is still very high.
Yes.
You know, it's like, it's so easy for them. Even, you know, next year, or if it doesn't start until 2026 and 2027 or 2028, to just say, hey, you know, that bill we passed a few years ago, we're going to stop that now. And by that time, people probably aren't paying attention to it, but I know how the legislature goes, and you do too. So
right. Well, and I think
that's a very good point.
One mm-hmm. other interesting thing that people should know about is while Senator Hansen is presenting this as something that puts a cap on local, even residential property taxes, he gives an exception mm-hmm. for districts to opt themselves out, to vote themselves out. And I don't mean the voters in the districts. It's not like a vote would have to go to the people right. and say, oh, hey, to get out of this cap, let's put a vote. You can decide if you think we should have more money at the local government, you can vote for it. Nope. Just mm-hmm. the elected people on the board of that district would get to opt themselves out of the cap. So honestly, what kind of a cap is that when you just put it back right. in the hands of elected officials and say, oh, you can just take yourselves out of this cap? That doesn't help right. people. And I think that's the problem, is people need to be helped during this property tax crisis, and the 83-page bill isn't doing it.
Yeah, and the other thing is the 83-page bill. I think I may have read that in the article, but I'm glad you brought it back up, because 83 pages is massive, especially when you're talking about technical math, like with property taxes. You know, it's reminiscent. I'm thinking of the land use bill that went through the Senate last year. I think it was Senate Bill 213. Mm-hmm. And they introduced it really late into the legislature, and it was like 140 pages. And then within committee, it got chopped down to 90 something. And then next thing you know, it was right. 120 something, you know, and it was like, and we were coming up literally on the last hours of session. And it was like, there's no way that you can be changing 30, 40 pages of this in these committee hearings and on the floor through amendments. And anyone knows what's going on. There's no way.
No, you can't. You're so
it's
right.
It's not even possible to read it.
Yeah. Not a good way to govern at all.
It's a horrible way to govern, especially when you consider the legislature has 120 days to work on these things. Now, mm-hmm. I know this year the sponsor will say, well, we had the Property Tax Commission mm-hmm. created by the special session, and that's why we had to wait up until now to introduce this. And okay, you know, I'll give you a little bit of that leeway. But again, you guys have had over 3 years to do this, going on 4 years to do this. So,
well, right.
I don't have a lot of sympathy.
And I don't either, because when you have that long of a time period to engage, you don't have a huge excuse for just pushing it off, as liberals often like to do. Like, let's go to another study. Let's just study it more. Let's study it more. Let's create actual right. solutions for people. They're asking for it and shouldn't have to wait years to get it. And plus, I think Senator Hansen, who is the chair of the Property Tax Commission, as you mentioned, I think he's presenting this as, the Property Tax Commission is supporting his bill. I actually think they're voting on it today, so we'll see if they do or don't. But I know there's definitely multiple commissioners who do not support it at all and think it doesn't right. represent the position of the commissioners and the solutions they ask for. So I think despite the claims there, there's actually some division on that commission.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's good. We want people pushing back when they need to push back.
Indeed.
So I'll be interested to see. We're going to release this on Monday, April 29th. So if you're listening to this right now, there'll probably be a vote, as Christy's talking about. And so make sure you check on that and see who supported it on the tax commission and who didn't. Okay, Christy, let's move on to question that I get asked all the time is, could the legislature fix this issue without having to go through voter approval and all this nonsense that we're doing now? Like, how could this be done simply by the legislature?
Yeah, I mean, they absolutely could. And we kind of talked about this when we were fighting Prop HH last year. People right. would say, okay, well, the solution you're talking about needs to happen. Why can't they just do it? And when I would debate some of the people on the other side, some of the legislators would say, well, don't you want the chance to vote on it? Don't you want to vote on a tax cut? It's like Colorado has historically proven that anytime we're asked to vote on a tax cut, we vote to cut our taxes. Right. But it's really wrong to present it to people as a legislator that they have to vote on tax cuts. The legislature mm-hmm. has it with 100% within their control to vote for a property tax cut and cap. Right. They've done it before. They can do it again. They constantly do temporary tax cuts, mm-hmm. tax caps, and they do it temporarily because that's the way to avoid the requirement that then if they want to go back and raise it, they have to ask voters for permission. So doing it temporarily provides right. them with an out. And that's part of the problem, the 83-page bill. There's too much there that's temporary as well. The legislature can just walk back. So all that to say, they do all these things kind of to hedge their bets, to make excuses when it is 100% within their control to cut and cap property taxes. That's a solution. It's an easy one. Again, you could do it in 2 pages. You don't need 83 pages to do it. I know there have been multiple bills run over these last 3 sessions that presented this as a solution, and they were shot down in committee, despite the popularity. If you went and asked voters, they think that just basic cuts and caps to property taxes are extremely popular and exactly what the legislature should be doing and not pushing it off to voters.
Yeah, you know, it makes me think of when I hear Governor Polis and other legislators talk about cutting the income tax. I think every single year, the state of dress, Governor Polis has said that he fully supports repealing the state income tax and all that. And it's like, well, I know at a minimum over the last 2 years, at least the last 2 years, just I've seen firsthand, there has been bills to cut the state income tax and just by a little bit. I mean, I think one time it was like 0.15 or something like that. It was a very, very small cut.
Yes.
And I didn't hear the governor come out in support of it. They died in committee. The bills died in committee. So, you know, it's like you keep claiming you support it. Well, just do it then if you really support it.
Right. Well, you see a lot of governors when their party has near supermajority control of the legislature, they're able to push things through when they want them to happen. Right. And so you're right. The governor does claim that he supports more property tax cuts, income tax cuts, and yet it's his party in charge that's not getting it done. And so that is an issue. Right. If we had a stronger governor, I think you could see a legislature actually reach these solutions, but not where we are, unfortunately.
That's not where we're at. That's right. Okay, Kirsty, I got one more thing for you here. And since you were talking about, you know, voters and how they feel on issues that are put to them on the ballots. So Advance Colorado's running Initiative 50, and it's going to be on the ballot this November. Can you tell us a little bit about Initiative 50?
Yes, thankfully, Initiative 50 is very simple. It's a 4% property tax cap that would be instituted. That's 4% annually, so 8% over the property tax assessment cycle. And what it would do is also put into the law, the Constitution, that if legislature, any sort of government thinks that they need more, and it's a statewide cap. So you need higher than a 4% statewide cap. You have to go to voters. And it has to be a statewide vote. You go to voters and say, do you want to raise taxes? Do you think you should pay more in property taxes? So it's sort of a Tabor for property taxes, which we know how popular Tabor is. Very bipartisan, doesn't matter what party you are, Coloradans love Tabor. It's a feature of being a Coloradan, being able to vote on whether or not we want our taxes higher. That doesn't exist in property taxes right now in the way that it should. So this would come in and fix that, give voters the right to approve an increase. And without that approval, it'd be a 4% statewide cap. Still does preserve local government's ability to do so many of the things they need to do to keep operational, keep running. So it's really good in that sense as well. But we're also almost certainly going to be running a second measure as well to pair with that on the ballot, partner with Colorado Concern. Details still being worked out, but it would be a property tax cut, which is the other thing that people are asking for. A cut and a cap, they need to happen together to really solve this crisis for people.
Awesome. So I didn't even realize that. So Initiative 50 is a constitutional measure as opposed to would be just a regular measure, I guess. I had Michael Fields on here, right? You're president of Advance Colorado. Yeah. And we were talking about ballot initiatives, and he taught myself and the audience all about the difference between constitutional measures on there, and that's the way to go, but it is much harder. So kudos to you guys at Advance for getting this as a constitutional measure. So again, the legislature with their 700 bills can't just change it next session. So
exactly. And I think it's always good to make government have to make the pitch. If statewide you want to increase property taxes over 4% per year, which is actually fairly generous if you look at the caps that a lot of states have, which we've analyzed, like that would actually be pretty generous. And there's no reason that government's increases should be higher than our own wages. And that's what's going on in Colorado right now. This cap would stop that from happening and say, hey, statewide, we can take a vote. If people want to pay more, they can. Like nothing's going to stop them, but it forces government to make that case. And I think when they're taking our money, they should have to make the case for why they need more of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they work for us, right?
Yes, this is true. So
they don't have anything that they don't take from us. So yeah, I think they definitely should have our approval on that. Well, Christy, I appreciate it very much. I did want to mention that right before we started recording this, I was looking at X, formerly known as Twitter, and I saw that Andrew Kinney. So Andrew Kinney, for those who don't know, he's a reporter for Colorado Public Radio. He works up during session. He's at the Capitol every single day, and he tweeted out that he's hearing rumors about a special session again for property taxes. And so that's a very interesting thing because, again, he's there every single day of session. And that means that if he's tweeting that out, I know Andrew, and I worked with him closely when I was there at the Capitol. And if he's tweeting that out, that means he's hearing it from multiple credible people at the legislature that maybe they're not so warm on this new property tax bill. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens next week with it. So keep an eye out for that. Christy, I want to thank you again. Where can people find out more about Advance Colorado if they want to know more about you guys and ballot Initiative 50?
Yeah, that'd be great. They can go to advancecolorado.org and find out about that and a lot of the other policy that we work on. So yes, join us, sign up for our newsletter. Love to have anyone join and partner with us.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Christy. We may have you back on down the road here and figure out maybe during the next special session and see what we can do here. Or as we get closer to the November election and talk about ballot initiative 50 again. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Engage the Rockies podcast, your go-to podcast for local and state issues concerning Colorado.